If I had a title for my message this morning, it would be Finishing Well. Finishing Well. As you know, my grandpa, my dad's dad, went home to be with the Lord this week. He went to sleep Tuesday evening, then he woke up in glory. And as word began to kind of get around, I didn't post anything on Facebook about it. I just didn't. But as word kind of began to get around the community, I had so many people reach out with kind words of condolence and warm words and well wishes. And it was over, the amount of people contacting us to let us know that we were in their prayers and how much Grandpa had meant to them, it was really overwhelming. It blessed my family and I a lot. But I noticed in all of these words of condolence a recurring theme. And it was just how much Grandpa's ministry and his life touched people. How much of an impact he had made on so many people's lives. And it wasn't just from people like me who grew up under his ministry. He grew up year after year after year after year of the same stories. You know, when folks get old, they start repeating the same stories like it's something new that you've never heard before. And Grandpa would tell the same stories. And as a kid, I remember, oh God, here he goes again. I wonder if I can go get another drink. I wonder if Mom will pinch me. I remember hearing of how God called him from the cotton field. Go park the tractor, you're done. And called him into ministry from the cotton field. I remember him talking about how God called him to preach to the kids at the local swimming hole. And how he would have revival services and people getting saved and baptized right there in the swimming hole where kids were swimming. How God changed his hard-hearted commanding officer and touched his heart and gave him leave from Camp Stolman so that he could go and hold revival and preach. Or how Grandpa was, you know, God told him to wait by a payphone. And at the same time, he told a pastor in Arizona, call this number and you'll have an evangelist for your revival. And Grandpa's waiting by a payphone, and it rings, and he picks it up, and the pastor says, hey, God told me to call this number. Are you an evangelist? Well, yes, I am. Well, I'm in Arizona. Can you get here? You bet. And Grandpa hitchhiked all the way to Arizona to go hold revival. These stories he told over and over and over again with the same twinkle in his eye. His ministry and these stories made a lasting impression on not just me, but so many others that sat under his ministry. But it wasn't just the church regulars, the Doc Hills and the Grandma Fords, and it wasn't just those that were there Sunday after Sunday and you could see their butt print in the pew where they sat every week. No, it was people that we maybe haven't seen in years, people that we would maybe consider, you know, Christmas or Easter Christians that just come once or twice a year, or maybe when they need prayer or something's gone terribly wrong in their life and they need somebody to pray with them. You know, it was folks like that maybe didn't have a plaque on their pew. And they reached out and they said, your grandpa meant so much to us. Your grandpa touched our lives so much. And they would share little stories and little snippets of, you know, talking about how Grandpa had ministered to them. Personally, Grandpa and I had a really unique relationship. We had a very special relationship, and I think that could be said for a lot of us. He was, as you know, he was very old-time religion. Grandpa was a preacher's preacher, and he grew up preaching the revival fire. He was very old-time religion. And I, as I began to grow out of my, you know, my childhood and into my teen years and my young adult life, I was a young Peter. I was full of zeal. I was full of passion and fire, and I had an ounce of sense in my brain. And some of you that have known me that long are going, uh-huh. I used to get in trouble all the time because I was just, them old timers, they just don't understand. I was passionate and I was full of zeal and I think my heart was in the right place, but my head was somewhere way out in left field. And Grandpa and I would sit in his office and we would argue. We would argue about different scriptures and different methods of preaching the gospel and you know, Christian rock and roll is of the devil. No, it's not. And, you know, God said, be all things to all people. And we would argue just back and forth. And in the middle of it, in the middle of our arguing, we would take the time to lighten the mood and we would crack jokes with one another. As passionate and heated as the conversations may get, we would still crack jokes. And he would still have that little twinkle in his eye. And we would laugh with one another and then go right back to arguing. And every single time we ended the conversation with a bear hug. And those of you that have been hugged by my grandpa know that that man knows how to give a hug. And we would end every conversation with a great big hug. And he would tell me that he loved me. And he would tell me that he appreciated me. And looking back, at the time I didn't think anything of it, but looking back, I wonder why on earth would a pastor with 50-something years of experience, 57-something years of ministry under his belt, would take the time to argue with a 20-year-old kid. And I don't even know if he realized why, but it wasn't because he believed that he held the truth and the truth needed defending. It wasn't like that with Grandpa. And I don't know if he even really knew why, but looking back, I can see that it was sharpening me. It was causing me to dig into the Word. He was shaping me and molding me. In coaching me and teaching me in the ministry of gospel. And I can stand before you this morning and share what God has put on my heart because that man instilled in me a passion for the Word, instilled in me a passion for studying. He instilled it in my dad. And I can say without any hesitation that we have, and not just because he's my dad, we have the best pastor around. Amen. And it's because Grandpa took the time to instill that in him. And because Dad and Grandpa took the time to instill that same passion and fire in me, that I can stand before you and bring to you what I feel God's laid on my heart. Now I know that this sounds all very, you know, eulogy, and I kind of wanted it to be a little bit of a eulogy, but I have a point this morning. I'm going somewhere with this. After my family and I had all received the news and it happened, you know, we got word while Dad was in surgery on Wednesday. I want to talk about a chaotic day. After the dust had kind of settled, we all gathered, and you know, Mom and Dad had gotten home, and Dad was resting and stuff at home. My brothers and I gathered at Mom and Dad's house, and my brothers and I were standing on Mom and Dad's back porch and just kind of talking about everything. And Cody quoted the same text that Dad preached out of last week. And if you have your Bibles this morning, I'm going to have you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses number 6 through 8. And I hope the clock will cooperate. I have a lot to lot of scripture to cover this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8 says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing." As we learned last week from Pastor Gary, this is Paul's final letter to his apprentice, Timothy. Paul was about to be executed, and this was the final letter that he would ever pen before he went home to glory. Paul, who in his early life passionately pursued and killed Christians, he had a radical encounter with Jesus Christ, and his life was literally turned upside down, and he devoted the rest of his life to growing the kingdom of God and growing closer to Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul said, "Five different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I've traveled on many long journeys. I've faced danger from rivers and robbers and danger from my own people, the Jews as well as the Gentiles. I've faced danger in the cities, danger in the deserts, danger on the seas, danger from men who claimed to be believers, but they weren't. I've worked hard and long, and during many sleepless nights, I've been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm." How many of you know Paul suffered for the sake of the gospel? But this same guy that suffered much for the sake of the gospel had some tremendous successes. He was able to preach before Caesars, before governors, before royalty. He established no fewer than 14 churches by his own hand, and most likely over 20. That's not to take into account the churches that sprung out of those churches, or the churches that were started by the men that he discipled, who went on to follow in Paul's footsteps and preach the gospel. The God-inspired letters of encouragement, exhortation, and rebuke that Paul wrote to the churches comprise two-thirds of the books in our New Testament, and have given countless people direction and guidance and brought an untold number of people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Paul had a rough life, but he had some tremendous successes. And here in 2 Timothy, from a prison cell awaiting execution, he pens the last letter that he would ever write, and no doubt he was reflecting on his life up until that point. There was no doubt in my mind that he was looking back over his life and the places that he had been, the people that he had met, the things that God had brought him through. By man's account, Paul's life really kind of went downhill after he met Jesus. See, he was a super Jew. He was one of the elite. Philippians chapter 3, Paul kind of lays it all out there. He says that if anyone has room to boast in their pedigree or their accomplishments, it was him. And I'm going to actually read that this morning. It's pretty fascinating. Paul says, "Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could." Here he goes. "Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin." He was a Jew's Jew, man. A real Hebrew, if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church, and as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ. Paul was set up for life. A Jew's Jew, a super Jew. He was set up for life. His pedigree, his accomplishments entitled him to a life of prominence in Jewish society. He was a leader. He was one of the elite. He had swagger. And his position no doubt entitled him to some VIP passes and backstage passes and probably a whole lot of money. He was one of the elite. And one day, God knocked him off his horse on his way to Damascus to persecute the church. And Jesus said to him, "Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me?" And from that moment on, Paul's life was radically different. He traded in the perks of his pedigree, the perks of his accomplishments, his position in life. He traded all that in to be shipwrecked, to be whipped, to be beaten with rods, to be stoned so bad that he died, went to heaven, met God, and came back. He traded all that in to suffer. He could have had it all. But here he sat at the end of his life after suffering all these beatings and shipwrecks and hunger and thirst. And he's locked in a prison cell waiting to die. And he writes to his apprentice Timothy and says, "I've fought the good fight. I've finished my course and I've kept the faith." Paul discarded everything that he was and everything that he had. And his life was radically changed by an encounter with Christ. All his prestige and pedigree became not just worthless to him, but actually detestable. If you look that word up in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, that's translated in the King James as dung. Sorry, Dad. Crap. That's what it's translated as. And in the New Living Translation, it's translated garbage. If you look it up in the Greek, it actually means refuse, as the excrement of animals, of things worthless and detestable. I have dogs at home, and I have chickens at home. And they're free-range chickens in our backyard, and sometimes I step in poop. And Paul's saying here, that doo-doo that you scrape off your shoe-shoe, that's what I feel about my pedigree, my prominence, my accomplishments before I encountered Christ. Everything that I've done in my own power, everything that I was born into, all my prestige and all my perks, man, scrape it away, throw it in the garbage, and then take the garbage out because it smells bad. Give me Christ. Give me Jesus. Let me work for him. That was Paul's passion, and as he's facing the end of his life, he looks back over all the doo-doo scraping, all the muck he scraped off his shoes. He looks back at everything. He looks back at all the times that he was beaten and shipwrecked, and he says, "All right, I'm okay with that. And if it's my time to go, I'm good. I fought the good fight. I finished my course. And now I'm ready." There's an air of confidence and peace in these words that Paul's saying. "I fought the good fight. I finished my race. I've kept the faith." He was able to look at the end of his life with peace, with confidence. He wasn't worried about who would inherit all of his stuff when he was gone. He wasn't concerned about who would get all of his things. He wasn't worried about his estate. He was more concerned about the state of the churches that he had planted. He was more concerned about the state of the kingdom than his estate. He wasn't troubled by guilt or regret. He could look death in the face and say, "That's okay, I've done a good job. I've made it." And he wasn't troubled by guilt or regret. He was able to face the end of his life with contentment, knowing that he poured every bit of himself into the work of the ministry. He was content. He was ready. Not all of us know, and I don't know, I started to say not all of us have the luxury of knowing when we're going to die, but I don't know if that's a luxury or not. I can kind of see it both ways, but not all of us know when we're going to die. But we can each one rest assured that one day we will. The word says that it's appointed unto man once to die. And how can you and I face the end with this same confidence that Paul had? How can we be like Paul and finish well? How can we look our end in the face and say, "I fought the good fight, I've kept the faith," and finish well? Number one, we need to give up. God smacked Paul on the side of the head on the road to Damascus, and you'll find this in Acts chapter 9. He had a radical encounter with Jesus. And at that moment, Paul had a decision to make. He had a choice. He could either repent and do a 180 in his life, or he could be stubborn and refuse to surrender to God, refuse to give up. But you'll find that after Jesus said, "Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me?" He said, "Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what would you have me to do?" And that's really key. Lord, what would you have me to do? He was acknowledging that somebody greater than him was addressing him. And then he said, "What would you have me to do? You're the boss. What would you have me to do?" Paul gave up. He gave up his pride. He gave up his prominence. He gave up his pursuit of religiosity. He gave up. He surrendered it all at the feet of Jesus. He gave up. If you want to finish well, you must first surrender your life to Jesus. If you want to be able to look death in the face and say, "I'm ready," you need to first get ready. You need to first surrender your life to Jesus. It's the only way to rest assured that when we pass from this life to the next, it's the only way to rest assured that you know where you're going and that it's not really hot. So number one, we need to give up. We need to surrender to Jesus. Number two, we need to tough it out. We need to tough it out. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, "In this life, you're going to have many trials and sorrows. But chin up, kiddo, because I've overcome the world. Don't sweat it. I've already beat it." You're going to go through some tough times. Sorry, but don't take it on the chin. I've got your back. Don't carry it by yourself. I've already overcome the world. So all you got to do is just tough it out. And you tough it out by resting in him. Earlier in this letter to Timothy, and Pastor preached on it last week a little bit, Paul encouraged Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier. And these weren't just hollow words of encouragement from someone who hadn't walked a mile in Timothy's shoes. As I mentioned earlier, Paul had shared more than a few hard times, more than a few difficult times. He was shipwrecked and arrested and beaten and whipped and stoned and imprisoned, and now he was facing death. And he says, "Endure hardness, Timothy. Stick it out. Tough it out. Stay tough." And Paul was able to say that. He was able to face the end of his life with an unshakable confidence, because he knew that the same God that brought him safely through countless encounters with pain and peril and persecution would be the same God that would see him to heaven's shores. If you want to finish well, you need to tough it out. Endure the hard times, because God will carry you through, and you can face the end knowing that he'll carry you safely to the other side. Endure the hard times, and it'll help you build a rock-solid foundation. It'll help you build a faith in God that can't be shaken regardless of what comes your way, including death. Number one, we need to give up. Number two, we need to tough it out. And number three, we need to be faithful in the small stuff. We need to be faithful in the little things. Paul was able to look at his life and say, I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Because he was faithful in the small things. Sure, Paul had some pretty, big things. Shipwrecked. Started churches. Raised the dead. Healed the sick. Paul had a big life. But not every day was biblically epic. Not every day was a shipwreck. Not every day was a sermon on Mars Hill. Some days it was just a really long walk to the next town. Some days it was just simply putting one foot in front of the other. Some days it was just pressing forward when really he just wanted to find a nice place to kick back for a couple weeks and, get to a pastor's retreat where they minister to him and cater to him and encourage him so that he can go back and encourage the flock. Don't get me wrong, I'm all about pastor's retreats. I think our pastor could probably use one once in a while. But, Paul didn't do that. He kept pushing forward. He had a mission and a calling, and he stayed faithful to that. Even when the days that he had weren't biblically epic, even though it may not have been something that even made it into the scripture. It may not have been an Acts chapter 2 kind of day. But he stuck it out anyway, and he just kept on. Some days it was just being tired and cold and hungry. But he kept on. He kept the faith. He was faithful in the little things. My grandpa was an amazing example of being faithful in the small things. The man who preached on Sunday mornings was the same man who every other day of the week, regardless of where he was at or who he was around. He didn't just stand in the pulpit and preach and do the spotlight part where all the eyes were on him. He devoted hours and hours during the week to prayer and to studying. He didn't just lift his hands in worship on Sunday mornings when everyone was watching. Mom and I were laughing because there were a lot of times that Grandpa, during worship, he'd just make up his own words. And, they'd be singing, and it could be a hymn that we had done hundreds of times, and he'd be standing in the back making up his own words. And on the one hand, it was really kind of funny, and on the other hand, man. His heart was so set on God. He was so passionately in love with God that he didn't need a hymnal to sing. He didn't need a hymnal to raise his hands and sing. He just made it up as he went. The words just came out of the overflow. And I can remember as a child, we lived next door to Grandma and Grandpa growing up. I can remember as a child, seeing him out in his shop tinkering with something, just singing away. Just, and sometimes even just, would stop and have his hand in the air and would just be singing to God. He was the same way Sunday morning as he was every other day of the week. He was faithful in the little things, and God entrusted him with the responsibility to raise up 2 generations of ministers underneath him. Paul was faithful in the little things, and God entrusted him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles and to establish the church as we have it today. Because he was faithful in the little things. All eyes didn't have to be on Paul. He was faithful in the little things, whether he had a crowd watching or whether it was just him and God and the birds. He was faithful in the little things. If you want to finish well, be faithful in the little things. Be faithful in the little things. Don't neglect to spend time seeking God. Don't neglect to spend time in His Word, drawing close to Him. Don't neglect to be in the house of the Lord. And I say that, I know that circumstances come up and vacations come up, and I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about if you have the choice to either, you know, be lazy or go to church, choose to go to church. Be faithful in the little things. It's not going to get you into heaven. You don't get into heaven by being faithful in the little things. It's not works. So don't misunderstand me. But when that day comes and your strength is failing, you can look heaven in the eye and say, I've been faithful. I've kept the faith. I've been faithful in the little things. There's not even a shred of doubt in my mind of where I'm going because I gave up. I surrendered my life to Jesus. I toughed it out. I endured hard times, and I have an unshakable foundation in God because I've watched Him bring me through pain. I've watched Him bring me through peril. I've watched Him keep me through things that I shouldn't have made it through. And I've been faithful in the little things. God and I have this intimate relationship. It's not a matter of me looking at the end wondering where I'm going to end up. It's a matter of me looking at the end and waiting for Him to peek His head out from behind the curtain and call me home. Because I know where I'm going. I've been faithful in the little things. We have that relationship. My wife and I have a relationship, and I can have headphones on or be mowing the lawn and not hearing, not paying. I'm not aware, but I know when she comes home. I sense it. There's just some kind of a thing. A thing. Yeah, it's a thing. There's like this ESP thing between us. Because we've established a relationship, and I can't explain it, but I know when she's home. When she gets up out of the bed and I'm a sound asleep, snoring, I know when she gets up. And we've got one of those memory foam things. I don't feel it. I just know it. I want to have that with God. I want to have that relationship established with God to where I just, when I'm looking at the end, I can just feel Him calling me home. I don't have to look at death and wonder where am I going? What's behind this closed door? I know. Because I can hear His voice on the other side. That's what I want. And you get there by being faithful in the little things. You get that relationship built up by being faithful in the little things. And you may be here this morning and thinking, well, that's all great, but I haven't been faithful in the little things. I haven't given up. I haven't surrendered to God. I haven't hung tough. Had something happen a while back, and man, it just rattled me, and I'm mad at God, and I haven't talked to Him since. Maybe that's you this morning. And you don't feel like you can finish well. You don't feel like you could look death in the face today and say, I've kept the faith. I've fought the good fight. Let me share a parable with you that Jesus told. And you can find this in Matthew chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to work in the vineyard. And at noon, and again at 3, he did the same thing. just collected people as he went through town, put them to work. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, he was in town again and saw some more people standing around, and he asked them, "Why haven't you been working today?" And they replied, "Because no one hired us." And the landowner told them, "Then go out and join the others in my vineyard. Hey, I'll put you to work." And when those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. They only worked an hour, but they got paid for the whole day. Love it when that happens. When those who were hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more, but they too were paid a day's wage. And when they received their pay, they protested to the owner, "Those people worked only 1 hour, and yet you paid them just as much as you paid us who worked all day in the scorching heat." And he answered them and said, "Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I am kind to others? So those who are last now will be first then, and those who are first will be last." And this parable is all about God's grace. It's all about God's grace. He's the wealthy landowner. There's some of us that were, I don't even know how old I was. I was born and raised in church. Been a believer ever since I can remember. And there are those that God has called as they've gotten older. And there are those who, like my Uncle Aaron, finally surrendered his life to Christ on his deathbed. If this morning you've not been faithful in the little things, you've not surrendered your life to Christ, you've not toughed it out, I have really, really, really good news for you. The thief that was on the cross right next to Jesus and died shortly after saying, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom," that same thief is probably sitting across from Paul having a falafel. They were Jews. I don't know. Don't they eat lamb? Maybe they're sharing a lamb shank. I don't know. He's in heaven today. Jesus said, "You'll be with me today in paradise." He made it. He didn't spend his whole life pursuing righteousness, but he still finished well. The thief on the cross is in the same place as Paul. And if this morning you've not been living your life for Christ, or maybe you have, but you haven't been faithful in the little things, maybe there are things that you can do better. Maybe there are things that if you were facing your finish line, facing the end today, you have things in your life that would give you pause, that would make you question whether or not you're going to make it. You can still finish well starting today. Every one of us, whether we're 9 months, 9 years old, or 99, we're all moving steadily, steadily, steadily towards death. Real encouraging, I know. The minute you're born, you begin to die. And no matter where you're at on that journey, you can start to finish well. You can start to do the things that will give you the confidence that Paul had to be able to look death in the face and say, "I fought the good fight, I've kept the faith." Don't let where you've been keep you from where God wants to take you. Cody, go ahead and come. Go ahead and come and play something, guys. Go ahead and do 10,000 Reasons again. I believe with all my heart. I believe with all my heart this morning that there are those of us here that God is calling. I believe there are those of us this morning that are standing around the town square when the landowner is walking through and he's saying, come on, come on. I don't care what time it is. I don't care what the clock says. Just come with me. I believe that there are those of us here this morning that Jesus is calling to surrender. He's calling us to give up, to lay down our pride, to lay down our hurts. I believe there are those of us here this morning that Jesus is calling to toughen up. Endure hardness. Don't let it build up. You know, I preached a few weeks ago about that wall of bitterness. Don't let your anger keep you from Jesus. Don't let that frustration or that anger, that bitterness, my God, don't let that bitterness build up a wall inside your heart. Toughen up. Endure hardness, because by God's grace, you're going to get through it. And I believe there are those of us this morning that Jesus is calling to be faithful in the little things. Maybe we've slacked a little bit. Maybe we've gotten distracted a little bit. And he's calling us to return to a life of faithfulness. To get back into being faithful in the little things. Let's bow our head and pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you, thankful for your presence, thankful for your touch, and thankful for your word. Lord, we thank you for the grace that you've extended to us, that whether we come in at 9 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the evening, you still give us life everlasting. It's not a matter of how long we've lived for you, but just a matter of living for you. Lord, I ask you now to move on hearts. I ask you now, God, to move upon hearts. Lord, if there is anyone here that does not know you, that doesn't, has not asked you into their heart, has not asked you to be the Lord of their life, if there's one here this morning that has not fully and completely surrendered their life to you, I ask you to do a work in their heart right now. Deal with them right now. Call them to your side. Lord, those of us that need to toughen up, and those of us that, Father, need to return to being faithful in the little things, God, I pray that you would speak into our hearts. I pray, God, that you would beckon us this morning. This morning, if you're here and you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life, or if you've walked with him and known him, but you've turned away and you've not been living for him, I want you to just slip up your hand. Not to me, not to anybody else, but to the Lord. God bless these hands right here. This morning, if you've been hurt and you've been allowing it to affect your walk with God, and you need to toughen up, and you say, preacher, I need to get tough. I need to endure hardness. God bless you. I need to endure hardness. I need to toughen up. I need God to bring me through some things. God bless you. I need God to bring me through some tough stuff. God bless you and you. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. This morning, if you've not been faithful, you can't say, I've been faithful in the little things. If you've let your walk with God get a little cold, and I'm going to lift my hand on this one. God bless you and you and you and you and you and you. Let's all stand this morning. Thank you, God. This morning, if you lifted your hand to accept Jesus as your Savior or return your life to Him, I want you to bow your head with all of us, and we're all going to pray this prayer. I don't want to embarrass anybody or call anybody out, but I do want you to come and talk to either me or Pastor after service. We want to encourage you and pray with you. I would ask that you bow your head this morning, and we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, I surrender. I give up. I surrender my life to you. I admit that I am a sinner and that I have fallen short. And I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me of my sin. And from this day forward, I will walk with you. I will follow you. I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart, I have really, really good news. Today you began to finish well. Today you can look death in the face and say, I'm going to make it. Your name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when either he comes back for his church or you go to meet him, you can rest assured. Jesus said that those that have been placed into his hands, nothing can pluck them out. You made it. Congratulations and welcome to the family. And on a personal note, I just want to share that my grandpa, one of his biggest passions in life, was leading other people to Jesus. And I'm glad that God brought you here this morning. And that you chose this morning to be here. And I'm glad that you made it. And I'm glad that you gave your life to Jesus today. It means a lot to me. Let's pray for those that need courage, that need to get tough, that need to remain faithful. And we'll pray and we'll sing this song once more and being dismissed. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you would take each and every one of your children and lift them up this morning. Those of us, God, that have hurt. Those of us, God, that have hurts and wounds and bitterness. We surrender it to you. We lay it down at your feet. We've been wounded and there's nothing that we can do to fix it. And we lay it down at your feet, God. Help us to get tough and to endure hardness as a good soldier. Build up a fire and stoke the fire within us, God. Build up a passion inside of us to remain faithful in the little things. Call to us. Call to us in the midnight hour, God. Call to us to spend time praying and seeking you. Help us to remain faithful in the little things. All that we have and all that we are, God, we dedicate to you again today, right here and now. We commit to finishing well right here today and right here and now. We commit to finishing well. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for your presence and your grace.